Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Blog Talk Radio with Bring Out Your Best. We are the folks of Right Living, the right foundation for the realization of human potential. This is our every other week show for dating and single people to talk about what it really takes to bring out your best in the journey of dating. My name is Kate Holmquist. I serve as Campus Director for the Right Foundation.
And I'm Rachel Zwow.
And we're glad you're here. It's been a while since we've had a dating topic live, and we're excited to bring you this one today, which is about getting real, expressing your likes and your dislikes in your dating relationships. And the topic today was inspired a little bit by our own dating dissatisfaction, and the real honest dialogue that Rachel and I had about kind of what was going well, what was going not, as we got up to speed on each other's dating lives since a month ago when we were last here with you, and also inspired by our year-long program of personal development and leadership development, the Year of Transformation, where students over the last 2 weeks have been playing with expressing their likes, what they agree with, what they want to compliment someone on, what they want to sort of see more of by encouraging it, and then another week in which they've been expressing their dislikes. And it's been very challenging for the people I coach, anyway. I don't know about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the job of those assignments or the purpose of that experiment has been to sort of see how far you can go in a relationship, expressing what you dislike and finding that people actually appreciate it, trust you more, getting to see kind of the positive sides of those benefits. But as we were sharing, we realized there's maybe a little different spin to put on this, or at least a discussion to be had about expressing our likes and our dislikes in our relationship. We've talked so many times with so many callers about how they are showing up on dates and, you know, saying what they'd like and don't like. And it just felt very present for us to get into some real dating situations this week and talk about how it's going, how much should we be expressing our likes, how much should we be expressing our dislikes.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, absolutely our priority and, you know, one of the principles we operate by is that of authenticity. And so I want to express authentically my likes and my dislikes as they happen in the moment, but it can lead to just some acceleration of relationship challenges, bringing them to the surface faster, which I think is cool and one of the purposes of dating, but that's not to say it doesn't hurt a bit.
Yeah.
Or there aren't ways we couldn't do it in a more socially intelligent way, or in a way that takes care of ourselves better, or a thousand other things we might discover in the next 20 minutes or so.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for me, this is just a topic that's really important. So something that I've been working on personally in all of my relationships and also in my dating is this idea of as I'm telling more truth and as I'm more aware of what I'm feeling and valuing myself and my own opinion more, I'm working on expressing it more, whether that's things I like or things I don't like.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, we're talking about assignments here. Assignments are, you know, it's a way for me to practice something new that I wouldn't previously have done that's going to be building sort of my toolbox, my skill set, the realm of possible behavior that I have to use in the world. But I'm just finding that there's something awkward about this new skill set, me learning to say, you know, I don't like that, I disagree with that, when previously it's not something that I would have done and it's not comfortable for me, that it sort of pops out sometimes, I don't like that, and it doesn't, and then I'm surprised that it has repercussions. You know, people don't like that I don't like that, you know, especially in dating. So it's all something that I'm working on negotiating. And the question for me is, how do I be authentic and how do I be, you know, true to what I'm really feeling and experiencing while being, you know, open and in rapport with another person and not going to that space of being sort of like a negative person that's, oh, you know, that's complaining.
Or getting these tit for tat. I don't like this, so I didn't like what you said there.
Yeah, exactly.
And back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think there's the rub. And before we actually hear from the callers, I just wanted to set one more piece of context
sure.
for people who don't listen to us regularly, which is that sort of our textbook lately in our organization for conversations about relationships is The Heart of the Fight, which was just published in February by Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright. The subtitle is the guide to the 15 most common fights for couples, what they mean and what to do about them to bring your relationship closer. Well, we know from having been involved in the development of the book that it applies to singles as well. It's not just skills for couples. The rules of engagement, particularly in there, are very applicable to relationships in dating, relationships at work, everywhere. And so there are a couple that we'll want to focus on.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll point out the two rules that most relate to today, the rules of engagement, are accentuate the positive
mm-hmm.
and minimize the negative.
Yeah.
So it's I think we just want to name that and sort of see how that's coming out for people as they share their challenges with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And rules of engagement, you know, it's really looking at what is the sort of foundation we need to set in order to have conflict that's going to be moving us forward and helping us get more of what we want. And rather than that sort of tit for tat you're talking about, how can we have productive and useful and satisfying conflict? What Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright have found is that there are these, you know, these rules of engagement that allow us to have that kind of more meaningful and satisfying conflict. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So let's hear about some tales from the trenches.
Yeah.
Get a sense of what people's actual experience sharing their likes and dislikes are.
Yeah. It looks like we have Molly on the line, and Molly is calling in asking, when do you draw the line? So I'm very intrigued, Molly. Please tell us a little bit more.
Hey, ladies. So my question isn't really about balance. Like, what I'm finding is, you know, if I go on a date and I say, oh, I dislike that or I dislike this, like, if I say that enough, I wind up getting pegged as, like, really high maintenance and or a negative person. And then, like, if I say, oh, but I really like what you're wearing or I like this or I like when you did that, like, then it becomes almost like I'm too eager and then guys lose interest. So I'm just, like, wondering how much is enough or not enough? Like, how do we balance this? Because it seems like it's delicate and I'm not quite certain how to gauge.
Good question.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Molly? The first thing that I noticed is that it sounds like the focus of your question is really about how you are being perceived with the, you know, the man that you're on a date with. He's going to think I'm too much or high maintenance, or he's going to think I'm too bubbly and over the top, you know, rather than really about you and your experience. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, say more.
Well, our assumption is that people who are dating, well, an assumption around here about dating and about relationships in general is that we use them to develop ourselves. So you're kind of, you're coming at the question of developing yourself sort of from the sideways angle of more like, how do I get him to like me?
Mm.
And that's a secondary question to who do I want to be
well
as I'm
said.
Out dating, right? And I think
right.
what you want to be is, you know, authentic Molly with a set of likes and dislikes, and you would like to be with a man who's interested in being authentic man X and will share his likes and dislikes back with you. When you say you have dislikes, he'll come back at you and say, yeah, you know, I get that, I'll take the feedback, or I dislike that you're pointing that out because it's a sensitive spot for me. Or when you have likes that you're sharing, we'll say to you, God, I'm getting a little squirmy about this. It feels like you're just a little rosy-posy about this and we don't know each other, or whatever it is. You want more than just a man who'll call and ask for another date. So that's the first sort of like overarching thing I want to call to, you know, along with what Rachel's saying is like him liking it or not is not the point,
mm-hmm.
which you know already. But
yeah.
That said, there is actually research on how much we need to express our likes. It's not exactly likes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that specific. But the Lasada ratio is a concept that comes to mind here when you're talking about the balance.
Yeah.
And I forget the first name of the researcher, but let's just say Mr. Lasada. did the research on couples, on relationships, and in work situations, and found there is an ideal ratio for productivity in those relationships of positive comments to critical comments.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was sort of novel to me as I heard that research was the positive comments aren't just things like, I like your shirt or I love your dress, or, you know, you really cleaned up for me really nicely, or I love that you think about those things. It's really anything that actually sees a person
mm-hmm.
authentically. Like, even a criticism could be a positive in the Losada ratio way of looking at comments, because it's like I took the time to notice you and give you feedback from that space of caring.
Mm-hmm.
And the negative comments are more the kind of things that John Gottman would call like the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the critical, the cutting,
right?
The ones that are fundamentally negative in tone or get at like, I just don't like you, or you're horrible is basically
right.
the tone of those sorts
mm-hmm.
of comments.
Yeah, and what we're doing here is we're taking this research and then we're sort of integrating it with this curriculum that we have about, you know, likes and dislikes. That sounds so black and white, you know. It's like, Molly, what are you liking and disliking? What kind, you know, how are you in rapport? Is it a criticism with a vision? Is it there's a lot more sort of detail about what's useful in a fight and what's not useful in a fight and how to do this. I'm curious specifically about what's coming up in your likes and dislikes.
That's a lot of questions to answer. I think like what I'm sort of relating it back to was a person who I actually just stopped dating yesterday. I'm having a hard time finding things that I like sometimes, like with the men that I've been going out with. Like I'll like that they're nice to me or they call me, but like, not much beyond that. Like I think that I'm just having, I haven't really been out with men that I really just like as people in a long time. Like there's usually something positive about them that I guess I appreciate, but it's like, not really like I actually enjoy who they are or what they're about. You know, like I'm meeting people, that's for sure, but I'm not necessarily liking them romantically.
Understood.
Yeah.
Easily understood. Yeah. So I'm recalling as you're talking an assignment that Dr. Bob Wright gave the women on staff probably a year or so ago,
mm-hmm.
which was essentially to date all men.
Mm-hmm.
None, that's not a, argument for polyamory or something right there. I clearly remember when it was given because it was before I was headed to a friend's wedding
mm-hmm.
on the East Coast. And I remember, meeting up with guys who were friends of mine in college who are all married to wonderful women. You know, clearly they're not available. But I remember being at that event looking at them as men and like, as one was making me laugh, I was like, what about it? What about that was funny? It was kind humor and it was whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There was a way I was going about being with all the men at that wedding that was sorting out what do I like and not like. And I was especially drawn to looking at the ones I like as just a way to kind of, I don't know, it was like the Amazon marketplace of men for me. Of, these are like fundamentally good people attached to the other good people in my life. There's probably a lot to like here.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a really good experiment for a time of going out into the world of men, looking at what I like and dislike, and not having to have the burden of actually being in relationship with them about it.
Yeah.
It's a little
less
risky.
Yeah.
But I did identify some things out of that and got in touch with kind of my own values and
right.
things I was raised with or things that are assets about me. So I'm stopping short of like proposing that as an assignment for you, Molly, but I kind of want to.
Do
it.
Well, what
then.
I love about it. Yeah.
Okay, it's yours.
Yeah. What I like about that is that it's really you taking on the assignment, Kate, for yourself.
Yeah.
And sort of bringing it back to where you started out, Molly, about, what is sort of this idea of am I too much? Am I too, high maintenance, too needy if I express what I mm-hmm. dislike versus, this is who I am and I'm going to learn about what I like and what I dislike and learn about myself through it. So it sounds like that sort of different approach and internal vantage switch might be what's called for, Molly.
Yeah,
I think like a lot of that rings true of like just figuring out what do I value. I think that's part of my struggle right now is just like, I don't know, I like it when nice guys are nice to me. Like, that's not a lot of information.
Yeah, exactly. I so relate.
Yeah.
And And there's just a truth to be told to yourself that you might be high maintenance, and that may be beautiful. You know, like, this is something I'm learning about myself in expressing some dislikes about my current situation is, like, so I need to be spoken to, maybe not on a daily basis, but on a every four days basis, I need to be spoken to, actually voice to voice by the person I'm in some kind of relationship with. And I'm getting to confront, does that mean I'm high maintenance, or does that mean I just have an actual standard of quality for my relationship as opposed to text? I think it's the latter, and it involves some work to come around to that on a moment-by-moment basis where it's like, oh, God, I need him again. Oh, God, I'm asking for things. Oh,
yeah.
No, but I know what a high-quality relationship looks like, and I have to keep learning in every interaction to, like, champion myself as, like, that standard bearer for what I want in relationships. So, like, damn, girl, you're high maintenance. Love it. You know, we've said before, like, raise your freak flag high on whatever it is that makes you in relationships. But, yes, you have a high, you do expect more than men. You expect more of a man than for him to be kind and polite and like you. There's way more, and you deserve way more. So celebrate it.
Yeah.
Be high maintenance, and let him rise to the challenge. I don't know what I'd say to the men out there who might be listening.
Well, I mean, my thought is in my situation, it's like, you know, when I have, you know, I've expressed dislikes and I've sort of received some feedback that's like, well, I don't like that you're disliking.
Yeah.
But my response is, you know, I want more opinions and thoughts also from the men that I'm dating. I want them to meet me. If I'm expressing more, you know, and the response back is like, that's a little much. It's like, no, come meet me here.
Yep. Yep.
I don't want to be the high maintenance one with a, you know, with kind of a passive aggressive man who's going to eventually be fed up with my wanting. I want somebody who's willing to want with me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, your wants are meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
They may even be on the level of yearning. Whatever you're finding that you dislike, and that's sort of where these liking and disliking assignments for us go, is to then use the liking and disliking in the service of your yearning. So you're not saying, like, I dislike your pickle breath or something like that, although that may point to a yearning to be respected or something like that. It's like your wants are so not insignificant. They're not, you know, tawdry, paltry, whatever the word is. Like, they matter, and they're things worth going for. So keep going, Molly.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Molly. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. Will you call in and tell us how it goes?
I sure will.
Thanks.
Okay, wonderful.
And next we have Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
If we've got Marissa on the line, her question is about how do I go from disliking dating to liking dating? This one's fun, I think.
Got it.
Marissa, can you tell us more?
I guess it's like I dislike it because I feel like I'm bored and like it's just like a waste of time sometimes, and I haven't really looked at it in like a growth way and like looking at what am I looking for and like to meet my yearnings. So it's like, how do I move from being bored and like being dissatisfied to satisfied?
Good question.
You sound bored.
That's true. Yeah. But it also sounds like you've thought about this a little bit and have had at least a perspective shift on this. So I'm not really sure where, you know, what situation we're meeting you in. Can you give us a little more idea about what you've been trying or what you think you've been kind of going for as you've been dating?
I guess I get caught in not like consistently dating, like keeping that flow of like just doing it to figure out myself and what I want and like dealing with all of like my like issues that I've had historically versus like just stopping, like being like, okay, like this is kind of comfortable and sticking with it. Does that make sense?
So you've kind of maybe picked a guy soon in the process and said, this one seems good. We'll see how far this one can go, and haven't maybe stayed as much in the adventure of really sorting it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I'm curious, Marissa, what it is that you want out of the dating. We're sort of talking about, you know, liking and disliking and what you're really yearning for in it. How would you like it to be?
I would like it to be more authentic and like me going into it, not trying to please in the first date, like going in and being my authentic self and being okay with that and kind of using it as that playing field of, this is me, and if it doesn't work, then it's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you want it to be kind of something that you're exploring, learning about yourself, being authentic, and also quick to bounce back if it doesn't work out.
Right, yeah, I would like it to be more of a like a playground versus like an absolute, like this is the person you're dating and you're stuck. Like, I have that decision to be like, no, I can go on a date with somebody else tomorrow, and like this could have been and learn something from each one.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
What you're describing, Marissa, it strikes me that it's a much harder approach. I mean, in two ways, basically. You know, being yourself authentically from not just the first date, but like the first moment you're meeting is huge. My reaction as I was hearing you speak was like, gosh, I never really put together, like, you need to date a lot more people if you're going to approach dating that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really
mm-hmm.
easy. It's really
mm-hmm.
easy in a way
to
sit on a date and adjust yourself to be the person you would need to be compatible with this person.
Yeah.
And for the person on the other side to kind of sit and do the same thing, let me read you and let me adjust myself so that I am who you need me to be in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work all that well because no one's being their full self.
Mm-hmm.
You're both kind of dancing around each other. Who do I need to be in order to be with you or keep you or have romance here or whatever? So it's easy, and it's not easy in a way because there's a huge kind of energy drain from that in my experience.
Exactly.
Right, but why do we do it? We do it because there's this thrill of romance on the other side of it. If I can maintain this appearance or put up with this thing long enough, I can get a nice little romp out of the deal or a good story to tell my friends or my Facebook world.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, this is reading from my journal. Maybe your reasons are different, but I guess that's just to say there's a lot of societal pressure or momentum in the direction of, let's just do this thing the way we've always done it, to have fun, to, you know, to do that dance of, like, being compatible rather
mm-hmm.
than being myself and you come along or you don't. And if you're taking
Absolutely.
The road of being myself and finding the person who's going to, you know, respond positively to that, who wants some of what I offer, you have to go out more. You have to find more people. You're going to get more no's. You're going to get more hurts. And you're going to have the more awkward situations when you find someone you do like of having to,
mm-hmm.
you know, really sort out. I like this about this person. I don't like this about this person. I really like this about two people at the same time. They don't like the fact that the other one's involved. And you get these huge messes, but they're wonderful. So I think that's all just kind of my little rant of saying the whole deck is stacked against what you're describing.
Yeah.
And if what you feel is sort of like an Eeyore, like sort of, oh, bother, then, like, it's actually not that surprising. And, you know, because it just is harder and people don't orient to what's exciting about that. And so I just mm-hmm. want to hand you like a, you know, a rebel. I saw some kid toy last night, some flashing magic wand, you know, like I just want to hand it through the internet to you and say, like, this is the thing to celebrate, that you want to do it with this spirit of adventure. And it's so totally different from how anyone probably in your life is doing it. Even the people who are doing like multiple dating are probably not playing the game of consciously dating the way you're describing. They're probably not playing the game of getting to know themselves and understand themselves the way you're
exactly.
doing in the other personal development work you're doing. So you're on the harder but better path. And I just, you know, you're not alone in it, I think, is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what's your reaction, Marissa?
No, it's exciting to just kind of to be affirmed that way and to know that, like, I'm not the only one doing that, even if, like, other people who aren't doing the same growth work are doing that. It's becoming more me. It's developing further relationships that involve me being more me with other people and allowing them to be the same and having those relationships and then deciphering whether, like, yeah, maybe this is something I'd like to pursue or no, maybe it's not. So it's very exciting to me.
Yeah. Well, and there's also this reframe that we do here on sort of the way people normally view things. You know, people view a rejection on a date as bad. And, you know, it's bad if I'm hurt. It's bad if there's a breakup. We're, you know, as Kate was saying, we're looking for the one, even if I don't believe in fate or I don't believe in soulmates or I don't believe in the one. It's like, you know, I talk to someone, how is it going? And then the good answer is it's going really well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's lovely.
Yeah.
You know, it's and so we're reframing that though. We're saying, you know, hurt is not to be avoided. Rejection is not to be avoided because
right.
we're talking about really playing hard and getting. You know, who wants to end up in a long term relationship with somebody or a marriage with somebody? You know, where we haven't fully expressed who we are and we haven't really been ourselves.
Yeah.
So the way that we're looking at this is rather than avoiding the things that, you know, society would have us think we should be avoiding, we're looking at leaning into that. And you know, in terms of being not alone in it, I do think it's important to be talking with people who are also interested in learning and growing and developing themselves and sort of sharing this kind of thing so that you can keep in mind that you're not alone. And it's almost
right.
like celebrating the game of it. You know, we celebrate mistakes here. We believe in feelings. All feelings are good. Hurt, fear, anger, sadness, and joy. And holding that larger context, even through your dating, is growing your ability to, you know, to celebrate your mistakes, to feel all
mm-hmm.
of your feelings, and to, you know, live more fully in all contexts of your life.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a huge shift from what I've historically done. So it's definitely playing around with that and going for it.
Cool. Yeah.
Very different, yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Marissa. I'm looking forward to hearing what comes out of it and then how your dating shifts and how you learn and grow through your dating.
Awesome.
Thanks for calling it.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I think that's our crew for today. We're glad you've joined us. We'll be back in 2 weeks from now with another topic relating to dating or singlehood. And as always, if you want to get a glimpse of what events we have coming up, if you'd like to attend one of our evening tours or one of our full weekend introductions to all of the methodologies we use to teach and train and more on these rules of engagement come in to those sorts of trainings, you're welcome to check us out at rightliving.com or foundationsweekendtraining.com. Those are the two gateways to the introductory trainings we do. And we're always here every 2 weeks on Wednesdays to talk. We hope we'll hear from you again next time. Thanks for joining us.